Good morning and welcome to the service. Just a reminder that we do have a collection for Helen Byrne, our minister in the circuit, that's leaving in July, at the end of July. There's a basket in the foyer for you to put your donations in, and it will be there for the next few weeks. Anybody who's thinking of joining the choir for the pop-up choir for the Eco Festival on the 15th of July. A reminder, there's a rehearsal immediately after the service here for no longer than half an hour. As you know, Point and Arts Festival starts today for the week. There will be a piano recital here at 7 o'clock this evening. Refreshments are just before the concert. Just to remind you that this event is free admission, but there will be a retiring collection in the foyer. It'll be a basket again. Okay, thank you very much. And now I'll ask Ros to come and take our service, please.
Thank you, Margaret, and good morning.
Good morning.
And it's good that we can be together as we come to the fourth and final week in our study, our romp through the book of Revelation. And it's also good that we can be together and share in communion this morning. So let's have a few moments of quiet as we bring ourselves before God. And our call to worship this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let they who hear say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let them come, and whoever wishes, let them take the free gift of the water of life. Amen. And we begin by singing our first hymn together, "There is a Redeemer."
Giving Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Thank you for that musical accompaniment in the corner. That's brilliant. I think now some of our younger people are going to go out to Muddy Church. So if there's anybody else who might like to go, if anybody wants to go, and if they want to come back, Zoe, they can come back, can't they? So if anybody wants to go and try, it's outside in the garden doing things, but you don't have to. You don't have to. And then the stewards will invite them back for communion. And now I think we have our opening prayers. Julie, thank you.
Our prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Let us pray. O God, we thank and praise you for this earth, our home, for the white sky and the blessed sun, for the salt sea and the running water, for the everlasting hills and the never-resting winds, for the trees and the common grass under our feet. We thank you and praise you for our senses, that by which we hear the songs of birds and the splendor of the green fields, the taste of delicious foods, and rejoice in the feel of the falling rain and the fragrant smell of the beautiful flowers. We thank you and praise you for all human faces, hearts, minds, and hands which surrounds us, and for all non-human minds and hearts, paws and claws, fins and wings, for this life and the life of this world, for all that you have laid before us, O God. We praise you and lay our thankful hearts before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now our prayer of confession. Gracious and loving God, Father of mercy, God of comfort, we acknowledge that we are too much disposed to anger, jealousy and revenge, to ambition and pride, which often give rise to discord and bitter feelings between us and others. Forgive us, Lord, cleanse us and give us peace. Amen. Now a prayer for the blessing of our offering. God, we understand so little. You're all wisdom and power. We can do so little compared with the miracle of your ways. But we are willing to be made able by your grace. Enable us to use in your service body, mind, and spirit, money, time, and talents. Accept our offering in cash or standing orders and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Julie. And in a moment, we're going to hear our two readings from Scripture this morning. And they're very contrasting readings, and they're meant to be like that. You might call shocking, even. But what this, as we've said right through, John is using images to try and get his point across. And later on, when we discuss these readings, we'll have a look at why he's using these particular words and phrases and what that's meant to mean to us as what it was meant to mean to the original readers. So two contrasting readings now, so look out for the contrasts.
The first reading is from Revelation 17, reading verses 1 to 7.
Babylon, the prostitute on the beast. One of the seven angels who have the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters, with her kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mysteries of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the seven heads and 10 horns."
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Amen.
Thank you, Brian and Hilary. And so let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So then, here we are. We are at week 4, the last week, as we have said, of this study through the book of Revelation. And so inevitably, therefore, we're looking at the last few chapters as the book moves to its conclusion. At the end, we read
by definition, the last words in our Holy Bible. But what are the first words? What are the first words in the Bible? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. What are the last words in the Bible? Well, the last words in the Bible are, "Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Come, Lord Jesus. I wonder why we don't know the final words as well as we know those opening words of our Bible. We sing them, though, of course, don't we? "Come, Lord Jesus." And we'll be singing them in a few minutes. So in this last section of the book of Revelation, we hear more about the fate of the systems and organizations of humankind that oppress and deceive. And we're given a vision of the new Jerusalem, the destination for all those who remain faithful to God and the Lamb, who remain faithful despite all the pressures and temptations of the world in which we live. Those who keep, as we've said right through, those who keep their first allegiance to God in all things, and who refuse to compromise with the evil systems that surround them, they will see and live in the holy city, the new Jerusalem. God's plan of salvation through Christ, the plan in place before Genesis, before the creation of the world, the plan from the beginning will not be thwarted. God is stronger than evil. Evil has been defeated. As we said again right back in week one, there's nothing new here. It's just in a different type of language, using different types of images. Because you know these truths. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Good news to the church then, small and vulnerable and facing persecution in some places and facing immense pressure everywhere to compromise by going along with the oppressive, non-God-centered regime that surrounded them. It is good news to us, the church today, as we face difficulties, apathy, sometimes discrimination, as we too live in a culture that does not put God first in its decisions, in its conversations, in its policies and its actions. As the church, we are called to hold firm to God and kingdom values and to speak God's truth and love into the world, and to do this by word and action. In our Wednesday evening Bible study last week, we talked about living up to our words as being an important witness, walking the walk, not just talking the talk. So in our first quite shocking reading, we heard all about Babylon. Babylon was and still is shorthand, really, for evil, for humankind organized godless communities. And since they are godless, they are corrupt and oppressive. As those with power trample on those without power for their own advantage and advancement. So reading this, John's original audience, when they heard Babylon and read that description, who would they have thought of? Who was Babylon in their time? Pardon? Rome. It was Rome, wasn't it? Those were the people that oppressed them at that time. And Babylon, as we heard, is highly attractive to humankind, appears magnificent and all-powerful. So the masses flock to be part of what seems to be her success. But her success is a deceit. She is doomed. Babylon, then, stands for throughout time for all empires, countries, systems, political, economic, and military, that oppress people and do not have God at their centre. So if John were writing this letter to us, the church, today, what would he mean by Babylon? When we read Babylon, what does that mean in our time? Yep. Countries that are at war, countries that oppress, only countries away from here. Governments, our government.
Huge global corporations.
Pardon? Yes, Jonathan says huge global corporations that put profit before well-being. Yeah. Yeah. People traffickers, yeah. Promise them, like Babylon, promise them wonders. Actually only care about getting the money off them. So their power, the power of the Babylon of today, is devastating for those who face the rough end of it, and for those who do not want to join in and try and push against it. But it is ultimately limited. That's what the message of Revelation is. These empires, these structures, these global corporations will pass away. In Revelation 18, the church is told to come out of Babylon so that you don't share in her sins. Come out of Babylon so that you don't share in her sins. So given that this letter is written to the church as a whole then and now, what is the role of the church as we live and worship and witness and wait in our time, in this Babylon in which we live? How do we come out of Babylon ourselves? Prayer? Yep, prayer.
Set an example of how to live in justice and truth.
Set an example of how to live with justice and truth? Yeah. And love? Yeah.
Determination.
Determination to do what?
To help people who are in terrible wars.
Determination to help those who are in wars, who are oppressed. Yeah. Be patient, persevere in doing good while we wait. It won't happen overnight. Yeah. It will happen, but not overnight. Any other ways we can come out of Babylon in our own time? Well, we've sort of said, push back against injustice. Refuse to take part. Speak out. Look at our shopping habits, our political engagements, what we will or won't watch on TV or look at on the internet. Question the stereotypes that we are fed through the media. Is it easy to come out of Babylon? No, it's not, is it? It's the culture, it's the society that we've grown up in all of our lives. It said in that reading that John was astonished when he saw Babylon. He was astonished, some commentators think, because it opened his eyes even more to the world around him. I wonder if our eyes are open to the Babylon in which we live. The life and witness of the church is not meant to be comfortable, secure, and easy. One of the commentaries I read posed this question: Why does the Church of Jesus Christ today sit so easy to her surroundings? Why do Christian people live such comfortable and such undisturbed lives in this evil and disturbed world? Surely it is because we are not true to the Word of God. Ouch. It's food for thought, though, isn't it? Food for thought. So the church is meant to worship and witness while we wait for God's divine plan to be fulfilled. It's not easy, but it is our calling. And so what are we waiting for? Well, for those who prevail, who keep their allegiance to God and do not compromise, there awaits the new world order, the new Jerusalem that we heard of, with God at its center. We heard the description in our second reading with very familiar words. And the chapter, if you read on from there, goes on to describe the splendor of this place where God is with God's people. And John uses images, obviously, again, of gold and jewels. He searches for words to describe the majesty and the beauty and the opulence of this new heaven and earth. And the most beautiful and the most glorious aspect of all of this is that God is right there with God's people, people who have come from all nations, and that there's no need for sun or moon because there's no night, and God is all the light that is needed, and there's no danger. The gates are open, there's no crying or mourning or pain or oppression, or fear, or death. The New Jerusalem is full of the presence and the glory of God. Revelation tells us that those who want no part of God have no part of this. Those who choose Babylon will be left in Babylon. It is, though, impossible to live in both the New Jerusalem and Babylon. To choose Jerusalem is to renounce Babylon. St. Paul talks, and as Judith was pointing out, St. Paul talks of running the race before us, persevering to the end. And this new beginning is the end that he means, where God makes all things new. God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the originator and completer of all things. This is the promise of eternal life with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John's vision of this heavenly city is the ideal set before believers as our inspiration to work for God and for good while we are here on earth. So the book of Revelation, through its images and poetry, reminds us and all of the church of God's divine and incorruptible plan from the beginning of time to its close. It reminds us of God's saving work through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It reminds us of the call of the church to live and witness for God, even in difficult circumstances. It reminds us that the evil that we see around us is ultimately defeated. It reminds us that the reward of eternal life is real and awaits all God's people who remain faithful. The last words in Revelation are, Jesus, who testifies to these things, says, "Yes, I am coming." And John says, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Amen. As I said at the beginning, we often sing these words, "Come, Lord Jesus," generally at the beginning of Advent, beginning of Advent isn't about the baby Jesus. The beginning of Advent is looking forward to Jesus coming back and waiting for the return of Jesus when all things will be made new. So we're going to sing what we would normally sing at Advent, O come, Emmanuel. And we're going to make it, we'll stand as you're able, but we're going to make it a prayer, lifting our voices with John's and with God's people through the ages who eagerly await the return of Jesus and the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. Amen.
We now come to our prayer of intercession. There is a response to our prayers. When I say the Lord hears our prayer, please respond, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessing as we conclude our studies of the Book of Revelation. We believe that Jesus will one day come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, you who lived and died and rose from death, you who ascended, we thank you for your daily presence with us. Help us to live that when the end of the age shall come, we will be prepared to meet you, not in fear, but with joy. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray for all whose lives are dominated by the seeking more power or status for themselves, or by the hope of security through their material possessions, for those whose selfish ambition means failure for others, and whose insatiable appetite for wealth prolongs the poverty for many. May the truth of Christ open the blind eyes. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray for those who face conflict, those who are persecuted, all who are tortured and imprisoned for their faith in Christ, for all who are neglected, ignored, made to feel if they are not counted, for those who, for the sake of others, stand against injustice, corruption, and evil, and do so at great cost to themselves. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray for our world, where war is still grim reality. Help us to renew our fight against cruelty and injustice, against prejudice, tyranny, and oppression. We cry out to you for the darkness of our divided world. Lord, let there be peace on earth. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Merciful God, we pray for the leaders of every nation. Give strength and courage to those who bear heavy responsibilities for the peace of the world. We also pray for the Christian church in the world, called to witness to your love in this generation. May love, harmony, and understanding break down barriers which divides people. The Lord hears our prayer.
Thanks be to God.
Merciful God, we pray for those who are ill, for those seeking healing of the body and minds, and for those who have lost their memory and live out of touch with real life. We remember our friends, Carol, Nadia, and Marilyn. We also pray for those who are in the medical professions and those who care for others. We pray for your blessing, healing, and comfort. The Lord hear our prayer.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, in silence, let us bring to you the desires of our hearts and our minds. The Lord hears our prayers.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, we pray for ourselves, our families and friends, We long to be made new in Christ and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, for our need of assurance that the past has been dealt with, that the future is in God's hands, and that we are being made new today by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. This we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Julie. And now as we prepare to share in communion together, we will be using the Advent liturgy today. So again, you will see the references to waiting and looking for Jesus to return. But we begin with the peace, so please stand or sit as you feel most comfortable, and we will share the wave of peace this morning. May the God of peace make you holy and keep you free from every fault as you wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
So let's share with each other the wave of peace. And we sing together our communion hymn, Into the Darkness.
Into the darkness of this world, into the shadows of the night, into this loveless place you came, lightened our burdens, eased our pain, and made these hearts your home. Into the darkness once again, oh come, Lord Jesus, come. Come with your love to make us whole. Come with your light to lead us on, driving the darkness far from our souls. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Into the longing of our souls, into these heavy hearts of stone, shine on us now your piercing light. Order our lives and souls aright by grace and love unknown. Until in you our hearts unite, oh come, Lord Jesus, come. Come with your love to make us whole. Come with your light to lead us on, driving the darkness far from our souls. Oh come, Lord Jesus, come. O holy child Emmanuel, hope of the ages, God with us, visit again this broken place, till all the earth declares your praise and your great mercies own. Now let your love be born in us, oh come, Lord Jesus, come. Come in your glory, take your place, Jesus. Jesus, the name above all names. We love to see you face to face. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come.
Now we come to the great prayer of thanksgiving. So please sit or stand as you feel most comfortable. It's quite a long piece of liturgy, so I'll stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all glory and light of our salvation, we offer you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. By your living word, you called all things into being, breathed into life the desire of your heart, and shaped us in your own likeness. Though we rejected your love, you did not give us up or cease to fashion our salvation. You made a covenant to be our God, spoke to us through the prophets, and prepared the way for our redemption. We praise you that in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of eternity, announced by angels and born of Mary. He became incarnate, fulfilling the promise of your salvation. And so we offer our praise with all your people on earth and in heaven. With the full chorus of your creation, we proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise you, Lord God, King of the universe, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come in glory. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Recalling his death and resurrection, and in obedience to his command, we celebrate the offering of his eternal sacrifice until he comes again. Through him, our priest and king, accept us as a living sacrifice, a people for your praise. Generous and holy God, pour out your spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Refashion us in your image, that we may be found ready at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. Like those that look for the morning, so our souls wait for the Lord. Be known to us, Lord, in the breaking of the bread. In a moment, there will be an invitation to come forward, and then the communion stewards will invite people to come forward. Everybody's welcome. This is an open table, so you don't have to have taken communion before. You don't have to be a member. If you want to come, please come. It doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how older you are. Everybody is welcome at this table. The true bread of heaven gives life to the world. Come, all who are hungry,
come and eat. Come, all who are thirsty, come and drink.
The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. 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 The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord.
Show your the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life.
All and declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever He will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship Him alone. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship you
And so let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for feeding us with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. Keep us in your grace, and at the coming of Christ in glory, bring us with your saints into the life of your kingdom. Amen. So as we live in these times, awaiting the kingdom, we listen as best we can to God's voice as we live and witness and worship and wait until the day comes. And so we sing together, hear the call of the kingdom.
Hear the call of the kingdom, lift your eyes to the King. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering of how God, rich in mercy, came to Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing grace. Hear the call of the kingdom to be children of light, with the mercy of heaven, the humility of Christ, walking justly before him, loving all that is right, that the life of Christ may shine through us. King of heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow, bringing hope to the world filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. Hear the call of the kingdom to reach out to the lost, with the Father's compassion in the wonder of the cross, bringing peace and forgiveness and a hope yet to come. Let the nations put their trust in him. King of heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow, bringing hope to the world filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. King of heaven, we will answer the call in the heaven, bringing hope to the world filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name.
Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon us and prepare our hearts and souls to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ours now and always. Amen. Amen. The day of the Lord is surely coming. Be faithful in worship, unwavering in hope, fervent in the work of God's kingdom, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And we say together after me, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So we say, Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
So anybody who wants to join the pop-up choir, you do not have to be a fantastic singer. We just want to make some joyful noise to the Lord. We're doing 3 songs. We're practicing them now. If you can only stay for 10 minutes, come and take the music and go home and practice. But yes, all are welcome. Let it not just be me.